Okay. Next talk will be more technical. The two talks now were sort of introductory to accessibility and the problems in general. But since this is a KDE conference and this is the more or less second last talk, we have the chance to present the accessibility module to KDE developers. This will be a bit more technical. I hope that the more technical people won't be too bored. Also, I apologize that I have to use macOS X, but I don't get the excellent display work. Okay.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay. The micro is on, right?
But yeah. Turn it up louder.
You have to basically swallow the microphone.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so the Qt Accessibility module was originally introduced in Qt 3.0 to support the Microsoft Active Accessibility on Windows. Later on, I think it was 3.1 or so, we extended it to support the macOS X Accessibility module, which Aaron mentioned before. And now in Qt 4, we extended again and we actually added support for ATK, which uses ATSBI. So we support more or less everything that Peter just showed. The design goals for our module were more or less to make it easy for developers to make applications accessible. That's one of the main goals of Qt. It's also in our mission statement to provide easy APIs to make the work of developers more simple. And I think that if we have an API which makes which makes it easy to make applications accessible, then most programmers will actually follow it. And we will have a nice set of accessible applications in the future. This, of course, requires no or very little impact on existing code. We do not want to force people to rewrite applications in a certain way to make them accessible. When you use Qt, the Qt APIs, they should be accessible by default without forcing the programmer to do much. And of course, one of the design goals was to have no or very little penalties for users who do not require accessibility. And the case before where I started Mozilla Firebird and suddenly my system came to a crawl, although I had no screen reader or nothing on, simply because when firing up Mozilla Firebird, it registered itself in the ATSBR registry, and there was some bug on my system which caused that error. And I believe if this happens on a system, then most system administrators will just switch off accessibility. And this is not what we want. And yeah, accessibility loading on demand is also one of the goals we have. So basically, if there's no assistive technology on the desktop, we won't load the accessibility module. So, Qt 4 accessibility. In Qt 3.x, accessibility was optional. It was switched on Mac and on Windows. On Unix, it was off. Now in Qt 4, accessibility is on no matter which platform you build on, so you will have a hard time compiling Qt without accessibility. It is possible for some special embedded systems where there are no assistive technologies, but by default it is switched on, so KDE can use it. All widgets are supposed to be fully accessible when we release Qt 4. That's, of course, goes without saying. It doesn't make much sense to have an accessibility module and then half of our widgets do not support it. Subclasses inherit accessibility from their superclasses, which is especially important for the KDE community because the KDE community subclassed quite a bunch of widgets. So by just inheriting from the Qt widgets, your widgets will be accessible if you do not introduce grave behavioral changes. So for example, KURL picker, which is more or less just a combo box with a more clever auto-completion, you basically do not have to do anything to make that accessible. It is accessible by just inheriting from the Q combo box. And the accessible interface can be interfaces can be plugins, meaning that they can be loaded on demand. If you don't have assistive technologies, the plugins won't be in memory. If you have assistive technologies, they will be loaded on the fly and will be executed in process. And the accessible bridges are plugins. Accessible bridge, we call it accessible bridge. Technology to bridge our accessible module to other accessible APIs, for example, ATSPI bridge, or the MSAA bridge, or the Macintosh Cocoa bridge. So, the KDE custom widgets will be pretty much accessible in Qt 4, and since both the bridge and the interface will be plugins, we can have independent patch releases. We can, since accessibility is a pretty new topic on Unix for us, we can release updates without actually having penalties for existing systems which do not use accessibility. Okay, so this is the highly technical part now. I want to introduce the accessible interface to the KDE developers which are around here. What do you have to do to make a custom widget accessible? You basically have to subclass the QAccessible interface and re-implement the following functions. If you changed behavior in those functions, if not, you will inherit the behavior from the superclass. So first, each accessible object, which is usually a widget but can be an object, for example, the Q application object is an accessible has an accessible interface too. But for now, I just say widgets. So each accessible interface has a text property. Which contains the text that will be displayed in the screen reader or in assistive technologies. You have an enum here, text T, so we have multiple accessible texts, one short name, which will be displayed in the screen reader, and then one accessible help, which can be displayed if the user requests more verbose help here. The rect is basically the dimension of your widget. You inherit that from QWidget, so unless you have a custom widget which really has strange geometry, strange ideas about geometry, you do not have to re-implement this function. Role. Each accessible interface has a role which describes what it does. A role can be a text input, for example, can be combo box, can be decoration, for example, if you have some frames or just some layouts for decorations and so on. And each accessible interface can have one role only. As opposed to the state, Peter already mentioned it, and I think Aaron as well. State can be, for example, focused or active or collapsed or enabled, disabled, and so on. And each accessible widget can have multiple states. Then one of the differences between ATSBI and our Qt accessible interfaces that we do not require one accessible interface per child widget. That's why we introduced the next few methods, which are child count, index of child, and child add. So basically, each accessible interface can fake children. You can say a combo box has 15 items, and you don't need to create, to malloc 15 accessible interfaces for each of the items of the combo box. You just say, okay, these are children of my combo box accessible instance. So you save a little bit of memory here, and you also speed up things. The relation to describes relations between widgets. For example, when you have a label which describes a line edit, then usually the relation from the label to the line edit is body, meaning that the label describes the line edit, and on the other way around it also works. So when you ask the line edit for its body, it will point you to the label describing that line edit. Since we have virtual children, we also have a navigate function. So for example, you can navigate to the next child of this particular widget. You can navigate to the widget above, below, left, and right. Because we think that just navigating with the tab key through your tab order is often not enough if you want rapid navigation. So basically, this navigation function allows you to break out of the usual tab order. You can just say, okay, go to the parent of this widget, go to whatever widget is right of this widget, because you just know there's a widget right to it, and you don't want to press tab key 50 times to actually get to this widget. And then we have a pretty generic action interface, which are the last three virtual functions. We have the user action count, the action text, and the do action function. User action count describes how many custom action this accessible. User action count describes how many custom actions this accessible widget supports. Then each action has an action text describing this action. Again, it takes enum value, so you have a short description and a little bit more verbose description on demand. And then finally, you have the do action function, which executes this action on the widget. So we already support the standard actions. For example, if you have a button, then you will automatically have a click action if this button is enabled. So you do not have to re-implement those, but if you have some custom behavior, you can implement that via the action interface. The advantages of this is we have a very low memory overhead for accessible interfaces, because the instances usually just store one pointer or one smart pointer to the widget or to the object, and operate directly on the object with smart introspection and the cute single sense slots and property mythologies. Then I already mentioned children of a widget do not have to have an accessible object. They can just be children of this accessible interface, and the accessible interface can manage the children itself. You can also have a mixed mode. For example, you have a table where you have 10 simple items and then one complex item, which contains maybe a combo box in the table. You can have 9 virtual children, and your complex table cell can spawn a new accessible interface. That's no problem. The implementation is generic and not widget specific, so we don't have a special accessible interface for a push button, we don't have a special accessible interface for a table, and so on. We just have one generic interface. That means we have no problem with binary incompatibility. You can make new and custom widgets accessible by just re-implementing those functions and shipping a plugin basically at runtime. Or, okay, you have to restart the application, but you do not have to recompile the application to make custom widgets accessible. Exactly, yeah, you don't have to modify anything to ship your new and custom widgets. And as we heard, most major applications do have custom widgets. So this is one topic where we made sure that you won't run into our problems. The other nice thing is that the lifetime of the accessible interface is not the lifetime of the widget. So if you delete a widget, or if you close a dialog and the dialog is deleted, but some assistive technology still has a reference to it, you will not have crashes. The accessible interface will still exist, but the accessible interface knows that the dialogue is not there anymore, so it switches itself into an invalid mode until the screen reader actually processed all the signals and now knows that this dialogue is not existent anymore, and then releases the interface. Okay, we also made some changes for Qt Designer. So basically the accessible help texts and descriptions I mentioned can be set directly in Qt Designer in our basically graphical user interface designer. They can be set by non-technical people and they can be translated. Yeah, they can be localized just like any other string that is exposed to the user, just like any help text, just like any what's this help and so on. As I mentioned,
yeah, my question to the localization. Under Windows with screen readers, I'm always missing there's a localization for the attributes to a widget. For example, there is a name, for example, icon. It's an English word, but if I'm using a German screen reader, it reads in German because there's no attribute to the property of the widget. Is it in Qt that we have localization and connected to the language that is used for the properties? So it can be.
Okay, the question was, I've had that problem before, if you have a mixture of English and German terms, then the screen reader usually gets it wrong. You might also hit those problems and everywhere in the web or so on, wherever you serve. We have a solution for that. The only problem is that ATSBI doesn't support it yet, so the solution only works internally in Qt. That is, our generic text methods actually do not return just plain UTF-8 characters, but return text which contains meta information. So you can have a meta tag in there which says, okay, now I switch the language to English. Of course, the application and the provider of the text has to make sure that that there's a flagging this word as English or so. But if there is a tag, or if we can get the information, for example, let's say K-word, in K-word you can usually mark a text as English now, so you get the right grammar check and spelling check and so on. So if we have that information, we will hand it out to the screen reader and to the accessible interfaces. Yeah, Peter?
When you...
Okay, does that answer the question? Okay, great. Peter?
There's an interesting question, though, about which things should be translated by which processes. So, for example, things like the role or the state of an object, is this a button, is this checked? Oftentimes, assistive technologies are making decisions based on that. So if you're conveying that as a string, then that string is being looked at programmatically. So that's a case where you don't necessarily want the application to do that localization. That's often best done by the assistive technology.
Yes, correct. But we do not output strings for this. Did everyone get the question? The remark was that often you do not want to translate strings because the assistive technologies rely on the English string, and then the assistive technology translate the string.
Well, if that information is string based.
If it is string based.
If it's a bit field. Mistake, then it's the assistive technology that's the only one that's doing the translation.
Yeah, correct. So this enriched text is actually only for user exposed strings, not for internal strings we use. So for example, the flag to the action text, the action is always click, but you can request the localized string. In German, it would be click instead of click. We do not translate everything. We have a system where we put the user exposed strings into a resource file, so you can send them to your translator, get them translated, ship them back to the application. So you have the localized strings in there. Yeah, we are prepared for that. Okay. Question.
You said that your widgets, you're exposing information about the dimension of an object. Do you also expose information about the positions where it will be drawn on the screen?
The question was whether we expose the position of the widget on the screen. Yes, we do that. And you can translate between screen coordinates and application relative coordinates. That's no problem. Yes, the rectangle actually has the top left and the bottom right coordinates. So you can query for the width and the height and the position on the current screen. Yeah, please.
Are these the relative sizes for, I'm thinking about making some fonts bigger and such things, or some buttons bigger for a visually impaired. Is this relatively to the font size or?
The size will always be the current size of the widget as it is displayed on the screen. Because that is what the assistive technology will capture. And Qt has layout managers and so on. So basically, if you change the font size, all your user interfaces will adapt to the new larger screen, and the changes will be propagated to the assistive technologies. Okay, as I mentioned, we want to make all widgets accessible, but we do that not only for widget, but also for our backend classes. For example, we have the new document view classes, which separate the content from the actual view. And the content is a non-GUI object, but still it is accessible already because you can query for each entry in your document for the accessible help texts. So the views can actually query the data for accessible help text for accessible meta information. So this is also already present in Qt 4 and in the tech preview we released. So if you want to make a custom widget accessible, you can either compile that code into statically in your application, or you can make an accessible plugin. Plugins are always a bit difficult to implement, but we think in Qt 4 we found a solution which should be really easy to do. What I have here is an example for declaration of an accessible plugin. You basically create a new class, Accessible Factory, which is a subclass of Qt Accessible Plugin. You have three public methods. That is a default constructor, which in this example does nothing. You have a keys method, which returns a string list and you have a create function, which actually creates your accessible interface for a given object. So the implementation is rather trivial. You re-implement the keys function. You basically return the class names of the widgets which this plugin makes accessible. In this example, I have MyWidget1 and MyWidget2. So whenever Qt encounters a widget of type MyWidget2, it will go through the list of plugins, query the right plugins, and load the required code on demand. And then you have a create function, which also is trivial enough. You just check if your class name is MyWidget1, you return a new MyWidget interface. So with those few lines of code, you have the entire framework to make an accessible plugin. So we think that's not too much bloat. This nice ASCII art displays how a Qt application works together with the assistive technologies that Peter just demonstrated. So on top you have the Qt application, which of course contains the Qt accessibility module. As I mentioned, you have a hard time switching it off. Then the next step, we have the Qt ATK bridge, which is a plugin which is still in process. It's loaded on demand. The Qt ATK bridge links to ATK, the assistive toolkit of GNOME, which in turn loads another plugin, the ATSBI ATK bridge. And now comes the difficult part, and this communicates via CORBA with the assistive technologies. So in the very last step, you have the out-of-process communication with the actual tools. Building the Qt ATK bridge is pretty simple because the only requirement is ATK, but actually running and loading it is the tricky part, because there you need ATSBI installed as well, which has quite some dependencies. Our problem is that we cannot get a CORBA implementation which is not deeply rooted in the GNOME APIs. So if you want to install ATSBI, it usually expands to installing 15 to 20 additional packages, like the Orbit2 ORP, Bonobo activation, and so on and so on. So, as I mentioned, Qt is open for new backends with accessibility bridges, which can be loaded on the fly. So we are also ready to implement other out-of-process communication channels. And now I'm going actually a little bit away from accessibility, but I will describe briefly Dbus, which is a free desktop.org standard for out-of-process communication. which GNOME already uses to propagate changes from the kernel to the GNOME device manager. So if you plug in a USB key, you will see it in the device tree at once without having active calling and so on. So the goal was to make this API as convenient and as small as possible. Since we have so many blind readers, I will read each line of code. That's another point for me for making it very convenient and slow so that you don't have to talk too much. You create an instance of a QDBus connection. You create an instance of the QDBus message and you say this is a signal. You give an object path, which in my case is orcard accessible root. An interface name, orcard accessibility, and the method name, which in my case is ping. So what I'm doing here, I create a signal, ping, for all accessible applications which are loaded. I can optionally put additional parameters into this message, like a qstring or an integer, and then finally I send it. This entire sending, out-of-process sending of a message is three lines of code if you omit the parameters. I think this is the shortest method I have seen for out-of-process communication. What this will do is to send a ping on the DBus channel, and each application which is DBus enabled and which implements accessibility information can receive this signal and can respond with yes, pong, or something. How do you receive a signal? Most of you who have used Qt will probably know the Qt signal and stop concept. So you have an object, I call it accessible root here, you subclass from QObject and you declare one slot, which in my case is called ping received. Then your actual code, you have this DBus connection object again, and then you connect this accessible root signal I just mentioned to your slot. So whenever you receive, whenever this accessible signal is sent on the bus, your slot will be invoked. Pretty similar for invoking a method. If you want to invoke a method on in another application, you create another DBus message. This time it's a method call. The only difference is that you have to specify a receiver. A signal is just broadcasted to everyone. A message is just broadcasted or just sent to one specific application. In my case, this is the application 1.15, which just responded, where I just got the signal from. So I respond with pong and send this message again. And I can optionally wait for a reply if I want to. Receiving method calls is trivial as well. You just register an object for a certain object path. So whenever there's a method invocation for that for your application on that object path, your corresponding method will be called. And in here we see that you can use the built-in Qt classes, for example, qstring, because the marshalling of the data types is done in our DBus connection object. So on the GTK side, this would resemble into a gstring. So instead of passing, low level on the bus, you will pass const casters around, you will just pass low level data around. On the high level interface, you won't see anything of that. So as opposed to Corba, who introduces own data types and own interfaces and basically forces you to use their IDL generated header files and so on, DBus does not do anything of this. And as you see here, all examples are just three or four lines of code. It's very, very easy to get out of process communication working. So if we have a Qt DBus accessibility bridge, the ASCII art gets considerably smaller. You have the Qt application, which links to the Qt accessibility module. In process, of course, loads the Qt DBus accessibility bridge, which talks via DBus to assistive technologies. You will have no dependencies to Corba and no dependencies to GNOME libraries, but you will still have the exact same functionality. And because the glib bindings for DBus will make sure that the Qt signals will be transformed into GTK compatible signals, into the GTK or glib data types. So, I will now have a small, I will now show a small presentation of how Qt works together with Copernicus. For that, I have to unfortunately reboot. So, feel free to ask questions. Okay, Peter?
So, if I recall some presentation at another conference a month or so ago, the way you do a lot of the ATK interfaces, sub-interfaces like accessible table, accessible text, etc., is you use the action interface of Qt, accessibility. And I'm wondering how that works in a DBus-based bridge, or where does that translation happen?
Okay, the question is how do we bridge, or basically, the question is how do we bridge our Qt accessibility interface, which has just one interface, which has a generic action interface, how do we bridge that to the existing ATK solution?
In particular, I have some ideas to how that's done today in the Corba-based world, but I'm wondering how that would happen in the DBus world, although you may need to explain the current way to the audience.
There is actually no difference. What we do, we see the ATK interfaces more or less as a subset of the interfaces we have. Not do the right thing. So the problem for whether we bridge to via DBus or whether we bridge via ATSPI. Those are actually the same problems. We have to have a layer which translates the Qt interfaces into ATK interfaces, and we already have this layer. It is in process. This was the first ASCII art I showed, where we load ATK in process, which then loads the ATSPI bridge. Okay, this looks a lot better. So this transition is really not the problem. The problems we have is how do we communicate things we have in the acute accessible interface, how do we communicate that to ATK, for example, the metadata we have for language or for importance. Or we had another discussion yesterday about email reading. You want some way to tell the screen reader, okay, this is a block of quoted text with a level 3, and then I have a block of quoted text with a level 2, and so on. How do we communicate that to the screen reader to actually skip over it? When we just pass the raw text to it, then the screen reader has to figure out, okay, here's a greater sign. This might or might not be quoted text. The email application works, the screen reader doesn't. So we really want to have some standards, maybe free desktop, maybe together with Sun, wherever, where we have this enriched text functionality. That's kind of our first one.
Yeah, I'd love to continue that conversation with you afterwards, perhaps over beer.
Okay, there's a question here. Yeah.
Is this demo going to be using the first or the second, the one with Corba or the one with DBus?
The one with Corba, because the DBus bindings are pretty new. I will show a small example of DBus, but not in conjunction with Copernicus.
But you're planning to get the DBus support into Copernicus, which will cause the dependencies for Qt to be on Copernicus's part, right?
Yeah, the let's say the ideal way would be to have a bridge that bridges between DBus and ATSPI, so that we can just talk DBus internally in KDE, and if ATSPI is installed via Bonobo activation, it can load the DBus bridge and translate the two worlds. That would be the ideal case. So Qt applications will be accessible. Accessible to GNOME and GTK based assistive technologies, and accessible to Qt only or to Qt KDE only assistive technologies. But assistive technologies written in Qt or written or KDE applications, KDE assistive technologies, could also see the GTK and GNOME-based applications, for example, Mozilla and so on. So we have a fully transparent bridge. This is what we currently, or what we discussed yesterday with Olaf and Olaf Jan and Gunnar. And we think we can come up with a solution with that.
Okay.
Okay, so excuse the bad quality of the screen. I tried several modes, but none looked really good. So this is GNOPernicus, as Peter demonstrated it earlier. Send it to the background. Oh, come on. And now I'm loading a Qt application, which... which probably most Qt developers know.
You can put the letters more bigger.
The letters are actually not of can you see the thing on the top? Basically what I want to display is I have this checkbox, which is called read, which is currently checked, and the screen reader actually displays that's CHK, which stands for checkbox, read, and shows that it's checked. Or I have the slider here, and I'm putting it to... Come on. I'm putting it to... If it would let me... To a different settings. Now I'm tapping through it. And you can see this is a slider. Okay, in this example it is unnamed, and the value is 39 at the moment. This is the widget example which most Qt developers know. It is a standard widget example we have, and there are actually no modification in the widget example itself. So out of the box, by just installing the ATK bridge, it will actually do the right thing and propagate the widgets to the screen reader. So the quality is not too good. And the goal is to actually have all widgets to work together with GNOPernicus just as GTK-based or GNOME-based applications would do. GOG and Dasher and ATPoke and whatever else will of course work too. Okay, now I'm launching a debug session on the system. So I already said our accessibility bridges are plugins, and the nice thing is that you can have multiple plugins there. So what I have now, I have the in-process ATSBI bridge, but I also have the DBus bridge. So let's do the same thing as before. So I'm launching my widgets example here, and now instead of launching GNOPernicus, I will launch a debug space. Okay, I will launch a debug space and debug space introspection tool. Here it is. So since there are no assistive technologies on my desktop, the DBus bridge won't be loaded. Or the DBus is actually loaded, but it will just passively listen to accessible events. So there's no memory consumption, there are no accessible interfaces in memory until I click on refresh. Then actually, this is where everything happens. Now the widgets example actually loaded the accessible bridge, the accessible plugins. And here I have the widget tree, my Qt application. Let's click on this widget, so you see you have this whole feedback. this is my analog clock, this is my digital clock. It basically transmits the coordinates and draws a small rectangle around it. And if we stop doing that, okay, it's refresh again. So this is my key application. If I go into the toolbar, and I have a tool button which has a special help text assigned, which actually uses rich text, then this rich text is propagated with the meta information and I mentioned to the dbus-based accessibility inspection tool. And you see here the help says this is also a key tool button, and key tool button is bold because this is identified as an important item here. And with the same methodology, we can say, okay, this is English text or this is German text, and so on. And you see here the role of this tool button is the role push button, so you know you can click it. It has a name and it has a state. The state is hot tracked. Okay, I don't know what the state is, but that's what widgets usually propagate. Okay, so I think I spent 45 minutes, correct? So I'm pretty much at the end of my demonstration and of the introduction of the accessible planets. Questions, Peter?
Are you in a position yet to show this with
Gauss? I can. Yes and no. I can show the text entry with GOG, but the UI grab doesn't work. I spent the last few days to get Nopernicus working because I thought that was the more interesting application, which broke the GOG again. So I'm sorry, I also have a slight mixture of packages on my system because the Debian default packages are sort of not very well balanced. So if I start GOG, it will just crash right off the box if I install the binary package. So I have some evil mixture here, which I think is responsible for that. But Dasher and GOG work.
Yes. How do you treat the text in the dialogue to the left, where a part is visible and part is not visible? Will the text reader read only the visible part or all the text?
The question was, how do we deal with invisible text, like when the application is only half visible on the screen? For assistive technologies, this is of no importance. You basically want to access your application. You don't care whether you have a 640x480 resolution, or and the widget is not entirely visible or not. You just want to use it. You want to navigate to your widgets, and you want to see what text is in there. So the accessible interfaces do not care about visible and non-visible text. Basically, text that is scrolled out of the current screen or is not visible to someone who would look over the shoulder to a blind person who operates the machine. Of course, if you programmatically set an area of a widget to be invisible and so on, this will be propagated to the screen reader as well. So it will become a new state which is hidden. So the screen reader can handle those things. More questions, Peter?
In part, also to provide another kind of answer to your question, if the screen reader is if the screen reader user is navigating, thank you. Reach. If the screen reader user is navigating using the cursor navigation keys, that is to say they're arrowing up and down, then generally the text that they're arrowing through will become visible because that's how the caret navigation is generally interpreted in a visual world. So in actual common use, the screen reader user will be reading visible text, but that's not to say that the information isn't available. The information is generally available even though it's not on the screen, and an assistive technology could do stuff with that text through some other means and present it to the user through some other means. even though it's not visible. Does that make sense? That's your, oh, your question. You were behind me, so I didn't see you.
Thank you, Peter.
You have another question? Yeah. I'm not quite sure I understand that explanation. I'm thinking about if you have an HTML file with lots of text, okay, you're navigating through that, but what does the user see on the pad, and what is sent via the software to the usability software?
Actually, you can only request parts of a text through our action interface. So we try to be as lightweight as possible. In transmitting data out of process, because that's usually something very slow. So if you load a 300 megabyte web page, the screen reader probably only requests the few dozen words or sentences which are around the current focus. So we will not transfer the entire thing to the screen reader. The screen reader requests whatever the user requests or whatever it needs to communicate the contents to the user.
Okay. And I have two questions belonging to this. One, on the Windows, I have the ability with the screen reader that I have a three modes of a cursor. So I have one that reads everything that is available, even if it's not on the screen, like you have showed it or explained it, and then the other mode is to show where my cursor is on the application, and I can go with the cursor up and down. Oh,
sorry. Yes, and the first is the information that is in behind of the widget or behind the text, even if it's not visible. The second is that I can go up with my cursor and look right on the screen and read the icons and the words that a person would see if it's standing behind of me. And the other mode is an invisible cursor, because sometimes the screen changes if I go with the cursor upon some icons or some widgets and so on. So I can read things I would see if I look on it without going with the cursor in. Is these three modes also available on Qt, or is that a problem?
That's more or less an implementation detail of your screen reader. We in the Cube module, we basically try to expose as much information as we can to the screen reader. So we say, okay, this is the text, here I have 50 words and so on, half of it is invisible. So what your screen reader does with that information, whether the screen reader decides you will read the visible text or the non-visible text, how the screen reader reacts on update, we will of course inform the screen reader of all the updates that in our application we have accessible events and so on that works. So this is an implementation detail of your screen reader. But we will make sure from the Qt toolkit that your screen reader will have all this information to actually provide all those modes you want.
I guess the question could be, is it possible to query this information that does not doesn't come from the active application?
Okay, the question is it possible to query information that does not come from the active application? From the focused application, of course, because as I showed with DBus, it's pretty similar with ATSVI as well. All applications register itself. All applications say that are accessible will say that they implement an accessible interface. So via introspection and so on, you can send messages to applications, no matter whether they are on your screen, whether they are run on a different system, whether they are visible or not. So yes, that works. Any other questions?
Okay.
did I understand it right? That the application, in this case Copernicus or something like that, is able to ask the conqueror, for example, for the next link or for the next form, for the next button, or for the next header or something, or how can I understand this messaging between the Copernicus on the DBus and other applications like Conqueror?
In ATSPI, there are interfaces for example, for HTML and for rich text. We solve that differently. We basically don't care whether you have HTML or whether you have whatever document necessary. You have the generic action interface. So if your document source, whatever MIME type it is, we don't care. If it has a concept of links, and we'll give you a link count, and we'll give you the position of this of these links, we will try to bridge it into ATSPI. We will try to bridge it into ATSPI. We will try to fake HTML there. So we are very open in this respect and very flexible. If you have a Qt-based PDF viewer, for example, you can expose all the information to the outside, so your screen reader will think you read an HTML page, Copernicus. Or if you have a Qt-based screen reader, of course, it can use our interfaces directly. But if you have a GTK-based screen reader, we will try to fake HTML, we will try to fake the links and do whatever, if your MIME type or if your document supports it.
I think there are no more accessibility sessions today, right? No. So a bunch of these questions seem to be also sort of generic accessibility architecture or Copernicus questions, and not just Qt questions. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to stay afterwards, or if this session wants to go long, to answer sort of those more general questions that I think are coming up.
Yeah, same goes for me. I'll be here till Sunday next week, so whenever you have questions, just come to me. I'll usually be in some of the hacking rooms. As Peter said, this is the last talk we will have for the accessibility forum. We will have another talk in the gallery in the other building from David Four, explaining how to do things with Qt that Qt was not supposed to. So, be glad if you want to attend there, please feel free.
Yeah, so tomorrow we will continue in the gallery room in the other building at 9 o'clock for the talk by Janina on strategies to improve accessibility on Unix. And then we will go during the whole day till late afternoon. There will be several presentations of existing assistive technologies, starting with a relatively new project, C by Touch, and then going through Copernicus, Linux, GOG and Dasher, and at the end we will finish with a presentation on the tools we currently have in KDE. So, thanks to Harald for this presentation.